I want to start off this morning reading Psalm 71. I think this is a very appropriate psalm, particularly I can see faith in this psalm. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me, and those who watch for my life consult together. They say, pursue and seize that person whom God has forsaken, for there is no one to deliver. O my God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let my accusers be put to shame and consumed. Let those who seek to hurt me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all day long. Though their number is past my knowledge, I will come praising the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will praise your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to all the generations to come. Your power and your righteousness, O God, reach the high heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have rescued. All day long my tongue will talk of your righteous help. For those who tried to do me harm have been put to shame and disgraced. The writer of the psalm believes that God has watched over him since he was born and even before that. And he's sure that God will not let him down at the end. Though he is old, he believes that there's still work for him to do, that he has a message for the rising generation. David has spoken in this psalm of his past experience, his prayers for the present, and his aspirations of the future. To David, God was his refuge, his rock, his fortress, his comfort and his help. From childhood, he was taught by God, and he put his hope and trust in God. He praised him. He proclaimed his salvation. To proclaim is to speak out. And he was still doing this as an old man, and he wanted to continue to do this to the generations to come. And this is just like faith. And today we have all these psalms, proof of what David was speaking for the generations to come, so we can learn from those. He attributed God with rescuing him from his troubles and calamities. He sang praises And get this, he shouted for joy when he sang praises. It sounds a bit loud, doesn't it? All his enemies had been put to shame. And Psalm 34:5 says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. So throughout the psalm, David tells of his walk with God, the importance of God's word in his life, meditating on it, memorizing it, praying through it. And even in old age, he was still learning. Charles Spurgeon once said, the man who knows everything is the man who knows nothing. And the man who cannot learn anymore is the man who has never learned anything aright. So like David, we need to keep on learning. We cannot exist on our past experience. It's like walking with our eyes behind us. Today in this service, we want to honour Faith, an amazing woman of faith, so well named, her parents obviously knew what she would be like. Faith and Mel Broad are our longest serving members in this church, and I was keen for Mel to come up here too, but her health is not the best at this time. One thing I would like to tell you about Mel before we start on with Faith is that when Tony, my oldest child, was just young, Mel committed herself to praying for him. And you know, she still does today. And he's 52 now. And every time I visit Mel, she asks after Tony and asks after my family. And you know, that really just blows my mind. And it's great that we have so many wonderful people in this church. And we value you all. We can't have you all up here, no doubt, but we value each one here. You are special to us and of great value both to us and God. But today we want to focus on Faith. So could you come up now, Faith?
Even I can't understand why this is happening. I know this, Mick came to visit me 3 or 4 times, every time I was out. So I think he thinks, now I've got her.
It's because you're special, Faith.
Okay.
That's why you're up here.
Oh, thank you.
I've known Faith for about 43 years when I first started coming here. So how long have you been in this church, Faith?
I was 20 when I came, so that, what is that, 63 years.
Mm.
That's a long time. It's, is that me? I'm not holding it right. Oh, a bit closer. Okay, yeah, okay. Mm.
Faith's been a good friend to me. She's supported and encouraged me throughout the years. And when my husband left, Faith often had us round as a family for meals. And I've got 5 children, so that's no mean feat, is it?
Mm.
And you know, she was my daughter Megan's first teacher at Hill Park School. I would walk Megan to school, crying all the way, That's Megan, not me. And I was so thankful for this lovely teacher who would gently, calm her down. And Faith assured me that she was fine all day. That is until next day when we repeated this performance. This went on for weeks. But Faith, I was so grateful for your loving, caring teaching.
You deserved it.
Faith's also taught many of us here, whether in kindergarten, and I'm sure you all know that Faith started up the kindergarten. She's also taught in Sunday school. She's taught at craft group. She's an amazing woman, craftswoman. She does most wonderful embroidery, and she's taught us so much. I've got so many things at home that Faith has taught me how to do and helped me do it. And she's probably creative in all sorts of ways, her scrapbooking, the creative memories. She's done so many things, and she still continues to, with Carol, visit all the new mums when they have a baby, and they take a little bib, homemade bib. And she's also been a wonderful experience to me spiritually. I've really appreciated having her in my cell group and her input into that. And we have both, she's been my partner, we've done door knocking for years, and we haven't done it this year because Faith's health's not been too good, but we've had great days doing that. And I think, you know, age is something we can't stop. We all get older, but we don't have to be old and fuddy-duddy. And Faith has always seemed to me young, and I think we've always taken her for granted because she doesn't seem old, and she's always dressed nicely and always looks lovely and wears colours that suit her. You'd agree with me, wouldn't you? Yeah, yeah. So now we're going to give Faith a time to talk. And she does like talking. And it's just lovely to have Grant and Joanne and your girls here today to share with Faith.
You know, an aunt asked my mother once, she asked my mother if I could actually talk. I was so shy. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
No. And I thought what I'd do today, I'm just going to speak out a few of these verses in Psalm 71 and just see how they relate to Faith, or, you know, what she's got to say. So the first verse I've got is verse 5, and it says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." Is this true for you, Faith?
Yes, it is true for me. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I think I don't actually remember this because I was only two, but my brother was turned 5. When he turned 5, they changed the rules for school. You had to wait till you were 6 instead of 5. And he was so disappointed that my family sent him to have a holiday with cousins in town. And while he was there, a little country boy with big city cousins, it was terrible because they went across the road, he ran across with them, and he got hit with a car. And nobody thought he would ever live. The man that picked him up said he looked like a skinny rabbit. And he was in a coma for months and months, more than 4, I think. And at that time, we lived on a farm in Paparimu, and the whole district prayed for my brother David. They prayed and they prayed. It brought the district together, and everybody prayed, and God miraculously answered their prayer. And I think that was the first part in my life of realizing that God is part of our life, you know, that it's important. And although I was so little, I didn't really know, understand, but I think God implanted that into my cycle, whatever you call it. And then when I was 13, I went off to camp. I went off to my mum's friend organized this for me to go to Easter camp. Now, that's a great experience, isn't it? Great things happen at Easter camp. I was converted at Easter camp. How many of you here have had an Easter camp experience? Lots, yes, look at that. Lots and lots of us. It's a really special time, and that's when I gave my heart to the Lord.
That's great. So, does this mean when you became a Christian that your life was easy?
Well, who would ever have an easy life? Life is never easy. God didn't promise us that life would be easy, but he promised he would be with us. He didn't promise us a fast ride, but a safe landing. Isn't that the way that it goes? Mm. No, lots of ups and downs in my life, but I know God has with me, always been with me. Yeah.
So, do you want to share a little of...
Yes, I always believe in sharing. I think that, you know, this is what we are called upon to do, to share our life story. You know, everybody has their own story. That's why it's called His Story, because it's our story. And so we need to share our faith story. It's very, very important that we do share our faith stories. And you're asking me about my ups and downs. You'd be here for the next 10 years.
What about when Beth was born? What happened then? Do you want to?
Yes, when Beth was born, I have 3 children. Exciting things happened on all occasions. And the first one, when Grant was born, the girls at the camp got lost in the bush, and that was exciting. When Beth was there, they borrowed our piano for a big mission in the Maori Par at Narrawahia, and I didn't think they were ever going to come back. When Beth was born, I was so looking forward to seeing them move these big buildings from one side of the Waipa River to the other. It was all exciting. But what happened? She decided to come that very day. But also, after that, 10 days after that, my husband had this fatal accident. Well, it wasn't straight off, but he died in Hamilton Hospital. So there I was, left with 3 preschool children. Well, yeah. Why me? How does this happen? And it's one of those things you cannot understand. So, yeah, that was poor old Beth. And the rest of them have all get lumbered with these stories. So, yes.
And you and your husband had been involved in youth camps, hadn't you?
Yes. We started the work at Christian youth camps, and... I was involved with child evangelism. Mm. Don was involved with Youth for Christ and a YMCA. And we got involved with children's missions and all that type of thing. And we just felt, I actually felt that I needed to share the gospel with people. And I really felt God was calling me to be a missionary in Africa. And I well remember one day at Bible College, through many tears and prayers and everything else, that God actually spoke to me and said to me, "Your work is here in New Zealand." And I had to come to terms with that, because I think secretly I was thinking it would be nice being a missionary and traveling, and without, you know, being you're only 20, you know, you don't realize that it's a lot more than that. And so it was after that we were holding children's camps at different places in New Zealand, Narrawahia and Matamata.
And this gentleman emptied the pig bucket for the scraps for his animals. And he came one day, and we talked to him, and we said, we would like to start a camp. You know, could you know anybody around here that could sell us a bit of land? And he said, no. He went home. And half an hour later, he came back, and we said, oh, you've got some, you know? No, he said, I don't. But he said, you can come and have a look at my property. So we duly did that with an older brethren gentleman. We had a look all over it, and he was excited. He'd cleared a patch in the bush. This would be where they could have an outdoor chapel, and, you know, he was like this. And so then in the end, Mr. McGregor said, well, we haven't got any money, so, you know, would you be prepared to just, you know, let us lease or have a piece of this land? And he said, no. And I thought, oh, my heart went to my boots. We'd spent a whole afternoon traveling around this farm. No. But then he said, but I'll give it to you if you will make a children's interdenominational camp, then this will be yours. Well, he hardly knew us, and two young 20-year-olds, fancy. God's miraculous. This man had been praying for years. He had lost his wife, and he had a vision for children's work, and it had been in his mind for so long, and he was prepared to give. No strings attached. How many of us would be willing to do that? Anyway. So if you want to know how Christian Youth Camps is going these days, you just need to take a drive down there. It's absolutely blossoming in its beauty. It's wonderful. How many people have had an experience at Narrawaya, CYC? Oh, goodness me, look at that. Much more than I thought. So here we go, your influence goes on, doesn't it?
And you've obviously passed this on because Grant and Joanne have been running youth camps for years, haven't they? So
yes.
It must be in the blood.
And Amy.
Good. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Right, verse 15 says, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, your deeds of salvation all day long. And you've probably just answered this thing, you know, you had a heart to speak the gospel to people.
It's not always easy. I always admired Colin Airey, who could turn a conversation around and bring Christian things into the fore. But I do find, if you are willing, that God puts somebody there that you can actually speak to. And God gives you the strength and the right words to say.
Verse 9 says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. Do you feel God has been with you all through this time, and particularly now when you haven't got as much strength as you had?
I do. I do think that, you know, God is with me. And one thing about getting older too, now not everything's great about getting old. Some people say, not for sissies, you know. It's not all of it's not great. But, you know, one of the things is that when you get older, you have an excuse to do all sorts of things. You know, it's really great. You know, so it's worth sticking around to get there. And the words of the hymn that we sang about Jesus loves me, when my hair's grey, He doesn't never forgets us. When I had at the time of Don's passing, his accident and everything, God gave me a verse then. It was in Psalm 115:12, I think it was, where God had said, I am mindful of you and I will bless you. And I really think that he has, you know, blessed me. Been hard, but, you know, especially those 10 years. But look, they all turned out all right. So.
Verse 17 says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. And that's true, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, that's right. And
Yes, so a lot of people associate me with scrapbooking, and that's true too. We taught people there that it's very important to pass on our story, our faith story. And one time we had a meeting at Creative Memories, and I had a wee book I had done, which was my faith story, how I'd been converted. And I was the idea was that we were to sell these tiny little albums, and what could you do with a tiny little album like that? It just seems ridiculous. Anyway, I did this faith story, and two ladies sat there and read every page. They read it. You know what happened? Next month we had a meeting, and those two ladies had made a book themselves on their faith journey. I didn't know at the time, but they were two brethren ladies and had a wonderful testimony. So, you know, that's the thing. We need to share and to pass on our stories.
And I've read that little book of yours. It's a wonderful little book, and she's illustrated it with pictures and her whole life. So these are wonderful things to leave for your family too.
Yes, well, it says in Psalm 145 in verse 4, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. I think it means the Lord's act, doesn't it? Yeah, so, you know, this is what we are told to do, to pass on. If we don't, who will?
Yes. Verse 18 says, so even to old age and grey hairs, like the song, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to all the generations to come. And I remember, Faith, when you turned 80, you said to me, you know, most of my family seemed to die in the early 80s, so I've got to get on and do all I can. And you threw yourself into Sunday school and scrapbooking and Young Mums, the Young Mums group, Teen Mums, you were doing so much, but you felt, well, I might not have many years left, so I'm going to do all I can. Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
There's still some more to do.
Yes, yes, yes. So what advice would you like to leave to the younger generation? Is there something in your life that has been really beneficial or helpful that you can pass on?
I think that I'm just quite ordinary, really. You know, I don't think that I'm anything special, and I think that probably a lot of younger people might feel, you know, but the same, that we're just ordinary, what can we do? But in actual fact, you're not. We're all special. God has special things for us to do, for each one. And it's just a bit hard to say, you know, what would you... I think we can't tell anybody else what they should do. I'm really firm on that. You know, I don't think that God is going to tell me what you should do. God will tell you what you should do. He's not going to tell me. So I don't think I have a right to say, you should do this, you know, you should go to Bible college now. And so, oh, I do tell those daughters something, granddaughters something.
Family's different, you're allowed to tell them.
That's right, yeah, yeah. So, yes.
And verse 20, 21 says, though you have made me see many troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. You will again bring me up from the depths and comfort me once again. So do you feel a bit angry with God that, you know, you've got this illness you're going through, or do you feel he's let you down? How do you feel about that? Because those verses sort of sound as though, you know, God's going to make everything right. And I'm sure there's time yet God can heal, but how do you feel going through what you're going through?
Well, I think, you know, like we all know right from when, you know, that life is, you come here and you live and you die, and we all know that, but kind of when it hits you, you take a big gulp and whatever it is, you think, oh, why me? But for some reason, I have never really, I don't think I have really got angry with God. And the reason I think is because so many people prayed for me, and I think that's what has kept me going. After Don's accident, I had a little weekend suitcase, so like that, and that was full of bereavement cards and sympathy cards. And that was showing to me people care. Mm. People did care. And it was God's way of saying that's something you can see, something, you know, that's tangible, that you know, that people care, and I care. And I had this feeling, you know, that you can't explain it because it's my feeling. I felt it. And it, I felt as if I was on a cushion of prayer. I could feel that people were praying for me and for my little ones. And, yeah, and I think that that was the first time I had cancer. I have it twice, and the first time I remember the specialist saying to me, "Oh, you're the one who gets answers from above." And I said, "Yes, that's right." And God did graciously give me another nearly 20 years, but this time round, I don't really want another 20 years. And I just feel that... Well, it's just the same. We just have to keep going, do the same things as we've always been doing, to be available. God puts things in your pathway, and if you're available, we don't need to get stressed about it. God will see us through. And when I was little, they used to have a radio program of Uncle Tom's choir. I always ended by singing, "God will take care of you." And so many times throughout my life, I've grabbed that and said it over and over again. God will take care of you. Because I really wasn't sure that he was going to take care of me. But he always did. And I can really say that it's not a thing I would choose. Certainly not a thing that I was expecting. But there has been healing. They were so sure that I had lung cancer and that was that. But God healed that and that's gone. Unfortunately, I've still got this great pain. But that's nothing that you can't... It reminds me of what Jesus has done for me. And I get that pain in my side and I think of how they... spike that spear into Christ's side, you know, and I think, well, what have I got to complain about, you know, once I was going through a hard time, and I think I had a lot of family staying with me. You know, if you have a family, they move off and get married and do their own thing, and then they come back and they fill your house up and you wonder where you are. Well, this is one of these stages, you know. And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, there's no room for me hardly in this house. All the bedrooms are extra full. Oh, and I was really complaining. I was complaining then to the Lord. Yeah, why, you know. And the Lord gave me this little story about I got a picture of a pen. And this is what the Lord said to me then. He said, "My dear, your life is like a pencil. It needs so little space, it can fit in anywhere. But it has a message to give. All you have to do is to be ready for use. The Master is writing the story. He will take care of you. And all you need, he will take care of you for all the way and every day." So, you know, that's... Yeah, I think that's my thinking, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. We can't borrow from that. We just, you know, yeah.
And do you feel, you know, aware that people are still praying for you and caring about you?
Yes, I do. People, I'm amazed sometimes that I meet people who say, you know, like you and Merle and Tony, you don't hear it all the time, but I think when you're needing it, God puts that person there. That's to give you a little reminder to encourage you. It wouldn't do if God gave us that encouragement all the time. We'd have heads as big as this church, you know. But just every now and again, God does give us a little bit of encouragement. And I don't know the future. I don't know what it holds, you know, for me. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because he lives, life is worth the living, just because he lives. And I've got a little poem I brought here. I couldn't come without a scrapbook, could I? I've got a little poem here that I think actually sums up my life. You probably would claim it as well. It says, the weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colours. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget that he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and shutters cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark clouds are as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that he has planned. And we don't know what he has planned for our life. I think it's just as well. Just imagine if God had told me when I was 20, when I was getting married, when I was a teenager full of life and, well, trying to be anyway. Just imagine if I had known then what my life would have been. I don't think I would have coped. I don't think you'd have me sitting here today. I'd probably be in the place where people have lost their mind, you know, sickness. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have survived. But
that was a very good poem coming from an embroiderer. And Faith's underside of her embroidery looks as good as the top side, I can assure you. But it's good. Is there anything else you want to say to these people? Because I've found a poem too.
You what?
I found a poem.
Oh, right.
I was reading a book of my dad's, and I came across this poem, and about 5 minutes later, I read the same poem in Charles Stanley's book. And I thought, well, that's got to be a sign that, you know, I should read this poem. But it sort of, I think it reflects Psalm 71. It says, with fears oppressed, with sorrows worn, dejected, harassed, sick, forlorn, to thee, O God, I pray. To thee my withered hands arise, to thee I lift my failing eyes, O cast me not away. Thy mercy heard my infant prayer, thy love with all a mother's care sustained my childish days. Thy goodness watched my ripening youth, and pressed my heart to love thy truth, and filled my lips with praise. O Saviour, has thy grace declined? Can years affect the eternal mind, or time its love destroy? A thousand ages pass thy sight, and all their long and weary flight is gone like yesterday. Then even in age and grief thy name shall still my languid heart inflame, and bow my faltering knee. O yet this bosom feels the fire, this trembling hand and drooping lyre have yet a strain for thee. Yes, broken, tuneless, still, O Lord, this voice transported shall record thy goodness tried so long, till sinking slow with calm decay, its feeble memories melt away into a seraph's song.
I will agree, I have done some good things and some worthwhile things in my life, but there's a lot of places where I've fallen short. I'd hate anybody to think that it was all good. It's not like that. And in fact, a few weeks ago, we had a service here, and Frank was taking the service, and we're doing a series on faith, and it was about, when you kind of get hit with a bombshell and that sort of thing, and how you cope with it and everything. How do you actually know that you've got God's presence there? And what came to my mind is, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I really felt that, I should share that, that it's something within you that you know. But I was scared to get up because I haven't really been that well. And I sort of thought, would I make it? And I was too scared to get up. And I let the opportunity go by. And that's not the first opportunity I've let go by either. But, so I just thought, you need to know that we just do what we can, and I don't think we need to worry too much if we have got it wrong. In fact, I said to someone yesterday, if I do make a fool of myself, it won't matter. I've probably done it before, and they'll all forget anyway. So anyway, I've probably talked too much now.
No, it's great. And we've just got a little something here.
Do you know that I'm trying to get rid of everything?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
That's why I got flowers. Oh. Because I knew you wouldn't want more clutter and stuff to hand off to someone else. But it's just something little, Faith, and we want you to know as a church that we value you and love you and appreciate you. And, if there's anything we can do to help you, we want to do it.
Yes, I think that's the thing. But there's so many of you. There's so many have offered and want to do so much that it's a bit impossible to accept it all. And sometimes you learn that as you get older. You get more gracious in accepting things. When we're younger, we want to do it all ourselves. We don't really want help. We want to think we can do it. You get older, you realise that it's good to share. And I think that's the thing, that we do need to share and accept people's help. And that's really lovely. And that's a lovely...
Now your colours.
Yes. Autumn colours. Autumn colours. Mm. Yeah. Oh, there we go. They'll last probably. They won't last. I'll last longer than them.
Oh yes. But at least you won't have to be worrying what on earth to do with them, will you? I mean, they'll give you a few days' pleasure, and then you can throw them out.
I had a wee girl in my class once that had a life-threatening disease, and it was a 5-year-old, and she was months to live like me, I suppose. And her mother put a flower in her hair every morning, a fresh flower in that wee girl's hair. And it was a reminder that, to treat her carefully, that, her days were numbered. And I never forget that, that flowers fade, but the goodness is still there. Mm.
So I think the music team are going to sing some songs,
that'll be good.
Mac, if you want to.
Mac's been smiling all the way. I'm scared. I'm scared of him. Actually, he might say something I don't agree with.
And you can sit here. You can sit here in a place of honour while they sing. You don't have to stand and sing. We'll sit as old ladies, eh?
Are you gonna stay here?
Yeah, I'll stay here.
Well, I shouldn't leave you on your own, but I really think I should. I really think I should be one of them.
No, stay here. Let them.
oh, okay, I should better to look at them. Is it better to look at them or the music team? Which are the
we might not
which
know,
are the best we, lookers?
You should know the words because the songs you chose, these are special songs that mean a lot to Faith.
Oh, well, I'm not going to sing that. I'm not going to sing it into here.
Thank you. I don't know what to say.
All right. I've never played with people so close before, but we'll give it a everybody else, I guess, we'll stand and we'll sing some songs that Faith has requested.